why you do. Later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give off truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now why are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, I don't know where to begin. Yep, busy night tonight. Very busy night. First of all, we have with us, backed by very popular demand, none other than Eustace Mullins, author extraordinaire. And later in the program, we're going to be hearing from someone inside RBN, a newcomer, who will be hosting his new weekend radio program. We'll tell you about him a little bit later. He'll be in the last half hour. But, you know, we may team up the two guests at some point because it's my understanding that Eustace Mullins has had a little problem, which he's talked about before, with a registry of motor vehicles. And he decided to move from one state, Virginia, to another. So, I don't know if that's going to solve the problem, but good evening to you, Eustace.
Oh, good evening. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you. It's good to hear from you being on the program. Now, what's
yes.
this?
Well, you what's... said I had a little problem, but I've never had little problems.
They're always big, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess in my world they seem small, but anyway.
Well, they're petty. They're small, yeah. petty problems.
Right. You have moved.
Oh, yes. I'm a refugee. I had to leave my home state of Virginia, where my family has lived for 400 years.
Wow.
Because it's run by a bunch of crazy Federal Reserve communists.
Now, they didn't live there for 400 years all at one time.
Well, no, I haven't been there for 400 years.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
it feels like it.
I understand. The first colonies, huh? Now, here's the question I got for you, Eustace, before we get into the big league. You know, you moved because you had a state problem with the registry, but surely you know about the real ID card, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how is that? How's that going to not affect you? The Real ID card is basically a federal database that is going to tie you into a national system, regardless of where you drive.
Oh, that's true. That's always true.
Yeah. So how is that going to help you in another state, in Ohio?
Oh, I think it'll help me all right. It's a change of scene. And I'll have a bit different bunch of lunatics following me around.
Oh, I see. Because, you know, the president has said that he is trying to protect us and launch a preemptive attack on those who might be planning these nefarious attacks on Americanism. So you might be one of those terrible people.
Oh, I may be. But if the FBI has been had me under surveillance for 33 years, I'm not surprised for them whatsoever.
I guess you're not a newcomer, huh?
But what they're really trying to do
mm-hmm.
is to have a federal driver's license, the national
right.
driver's license,
right.
because the state license divisions are so corrupt, and they're selling licenses mm-hmm. on the side for $3,000 to $5,000 apiece. And some of the motor division employees are making $10 million a year on the side.
Imagine what they can do in Washington, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, that's
we got...
why Washington finally decided this is a big source of revenue
yeah.
that they overlooked.
And more control, of course.
Oh, and more control.
We got to protect us from the illegals, right? Hogwad. All right. Eustace Mullins is our guest. We'll tell you more when we come back, and you can join in. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Stay tuned. Back with Eustace Mullins, the man who, I guess his great mentor was Ezra Pound, who discovered many, many, many moons ago how corrupt Washington was. Isn't that true, Eustace Mullins?
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, you see, Ezra had spent 30 years in Europe, and he saw European corruption.
Right.
And what we had was a cheap imitation of European corruption.
Mm-hmm.
It was never as sophisticated as the European corruption.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're catching up, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, we're
working on it. Yes. The United States is catching up to Tony Blair and his little R2-D2 walk. So we will get there, no question about it. But anyway, for those who don't know who you are, Eustace, you have distinguished yourself as, I guess, sort of an enemy of the state, an enemy of Washington, for telling the truth about the Federal Reserve System, as did Ezra Pound. And you get yourself fired from the Library of Congress.
The only person ever fired.
Yep. And fired strictly because you were a political.
Oh, political. Yes.
No, right? You were a political criminal, I guess. You know, I mean, you violated the rules, and you weren't kosher, to you, if I may use that term.
Well, in the eyes of the criminals, I was the criminal who didn't belong to their gang.
Mm-hmm. You weren't part of the international banking cartel, quite the contrary.
Oh, yes, you got to belong to the gang.
Uh-huh. And you didn't belong, and you don't want to belong, and amen for that. So here you are tonight with us to discuss a myriad of issues. I know you wanted to discuss your move and how it all came about, so why don't you tell us exactly what happened in court and what happened?
Well, finally, the Federal Reserve revenge crowd found out that the way to get me was through my driver's license. They would deny me the right to use my car, and mm-hmm. I couldn't use my car to go get groceries or to get medicine or medical attention, and I'd die much quicker that way.
Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They sent you a notice and come to court, traffic court, something?
Oh,
like?
I got arrested several times. One time I was fined $116, and each time that the judge would give me a direct order from the bench, that mm-hmm. I was not to drive my car. And I kept refusing to renew my permit over a period of 5 years. And so they could arrest me any time I drove my car.
And what was the official reason?
The official reason was I didn't have a driving permit, which they refused to renew.
And so, on what grounds?
Well, they claimed that I didn't pass the test. And, of course, I've been driving 72 years without incident. So that was totally phony.
Well, how could they claim that now?
Claim it because they graded the test.
Uh-huh.
And they could put any grade on it they want.
And
so they told me 82 times
right.
I failed the test. This is a very simple test that teenagers pass every day.
Mm-hmm. So you basically you decided to move out of state rather than fight it anymore?
Well, I couldn't fight it anymore. I went there 82 times.
Mm-hmm.
I even wrote to the governor.
Yeah.
Of Virginia, and
mm-hmm.
the governor wrote me a letter back, and he said, you didn't pass the test.
Well, no investigation. I mean, who's going to investigate the state, right?
Yeah, certainly.
So now, what's to say that you don't have the same problem where you are now?
Well, I may, but that's I can handle that.
But you are with friends.
Oh, yes.
But you've had to abandon your home state.
Oh, yes.
You've had to leave.
Oh, yes.
And now, do you envision being able to go back or sneak in?
Oh, eventually. It'll work itself out.
Okay. All right. You certainly are a man on the run, Eustace.
Oh, I've been on the run all my life.
Yes. I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been running from somebody. I've been chasing somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, in previous broadcasts in the old year, by the way, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You have made a number of statements and observations and even some predictions. Now, little did we know when we talked last that your dear friend and mine, Ariel Sharon, would be in such rough shape at this hour. And here he is now virtually at death's doorstep. And Mr. Bush is, of course, referred to Ariel as a man of great courage and a man of peace. Now, what do you say about all of this, and what do you think is behind all of this? Is this the real thing, or is George Bush
helping? Well, they've got to get a warrant. You see, Israel's only function in the world is to keep the Middle East stirred up,
mm-hmm.
so as to keep the price of oil up.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got somebody else to do that.
But it's interesting, isn't it, the way Ariel's condition has degraded so quickly.
Oh, yes. He isn't that old. I don't think he's as old as I am.
Well, he's 77, but he's been about 800 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, 800 pounds is what his problem is.
Yeah. Well, you know, but, you know, the thing is the way this has snowballed so quickly from a minor trans ischemic attack into a major stroke with a heart defect. And I don't know. It just makes you wonder. We know how Arafat had to be moved out of the way.
Oh, they could have killed him.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt about that. But I know that Bibi Netanyahu and his gang have been waiting to push Sharon aside because, as they say, there is no honor among thieves. And in this case, looked like Sharon was at least pretending to try to make some concessions, which, of course, he wasn't. But it looks to me like Bibi Netanyahu and that gang of really ultra-radical extremist Zionists would like to run the show from now on and find a way of getting in. So
they've got to keep the Middle East heated up all the time.
Well, they're doing
Israel's
a good job of
that. Function in the world affairs is to keep the Middle East and the world in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Israel cannot survive in any kind of peaceful atmosphere.
You made a statement on the last get-together that you felt that there was going to be another change in direction in the Middle East with Israel because of the fallout from the Gulf War and the second war that we have now, the second Gulf War, in effect. What's going on in Iraq?
Well, the situation is getting worse all the time, and Israel has got to find some way. You see, Israel started the war against Iraq, mm-hmm. and they've got to find some way to back out of it because they've been blamed for it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the Middle East knows that Israel started the Iraq war against Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They bombed their nuclear reactor, and they've mm-hmm. been attacking Iraq ever since.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is Iraq at the time and Iran now both had been signatories to the non-proliferation treaty for nuclear weaponry, and Israel refuses to sign on. So
well,
isn't it ironic that our focus should be Iran now and not Israel?
Well, it shows how two-faced our policy is.
Mm-hmm. And you think that that the world now is starting to catch on to some of this?
They've always been on to it, but now they're beginning to resent it a little more. It's going on a little too long. You can only goad people so long, and then you have to back off.
Well, now, this subject of Iran has, as you know, heated up with all of the media in this country, which is definitely pro-Zionist, having attempted to paint Iran's new leader as more extremist than ever, and his statements denying the Holocaust and other statements about Israel purportedly should be wiped off the map and Europe should absorb the Jews and so forth. What do you make of all of this,
Well,
Eustace?
I think this is a deliberate design by Iran to bring some things into focus mm-hmm. and get some action on it.
Do you think that Iran's government has something up its sleeve, that it seems to be almost inviting some kind of Israeli attack for some reason?
Well, I don't think they're inviting some Israeli attack, but I do think they want to heat up the matter and get things going,
mm-hmm.
which,
well, they're
which
doing
means
that
they feel Israel is going to lose.
Well, they've hinted to that.
Yes.
And to that effect.
Oh, yes.
And you have to wonder exactly what is the next act on the stage, because it is a stage, you know, Houston.
Oh, it is a stage.
It's all a stage program.
Well, I look
program.
For some very exciting action very soon.
Uh-huh.
And I think Israel is going to have to back down on a lot of things.
Hmm.
And so will the U.S. It's a stooge.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Now, Michael Collins Piper of the American Free Press has informed us that televangelist Jerry Falwell couldn't resist bragging and finally admitting the truth. He and former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu did conspire at a critical time to trip up Bill Clinton and specifically use the pressure of the Monica Lewinsky sex scandal to force Clinton to abandon pressure on Israel to withdraw from the West Bank. So Falwell comes out now and admits this. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that story has been current in Washington for quite a few years.
Mm, but now it's official.
Oh, yes, it's official.
And Falwell comes out and makes the confession. And, you know, he didn't make it to the national media, but it was in a December 2005 issue of Vanity Fair entitled American Rapture.
Oh.
And an article by Craig Unger, who's written the book on the Middle East and on the Saudis, described the long-standing and still flourishing love affair between American dispensationalist evangelicals like Falwell and the hardline Jewish extremists in Israel like Netanyahu. So he comes out now and officially admits it in this story. Now, it was first published in the Spotlight, as you say, in 1998. It was news in the American Free Press when it was the Spotlight.
Oh, yes.
So now it's official. It's come out, Falwell running interference, working for the Israeli government, working with them against Washington and against American interests because of his prophetic concerns. So I think that's interesting. We've got to take a break now. Stay tuned, and we will open up the lines as well. Eustace Mullins, my guest. Don't be shy. 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Rick Adams is back. Live, uncensored, Radio Free America continues on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, we're back. Eustace Mullins, our guest. Eustace, we'll go to the phones in a moment or so. However, I just wanted to complete this thought from Michael Collins Piper of the American Free Press. See what you think. He's talking about Falwell and Bibi having this understanding and this agreement to bring down Clinton because Clinton was starting to put pressure on Israel to get out of the West Bank. This is not Gaza, the West Bank. And we mentioned that right from the beginning that Lewinsky, the daughter of a rabbi, of course, was in a pivotal position to basically set up Bill Clinton, and she did. Now, what Falwell didn't mention, he says, at least as reported by Vanity Fair this month. Are you there?
Yes.
Eustace, okay. Is that his meeting with the Israeli leader took place on the very evening before the mass media in this country broke open the Lewinsky scandal with a ton of fanfare. Nor did Falwell mention, as this author pointed out, and this author is Mike Piper at the time, that one of Netanyahu's leading America media publicists, neocon power broker William Kristol, the first American media figure to publicly hint in the days before the scandal was officially unveiled, that there were forthcoming revelations regarding a White House sex scandal that was about to be unleashed. So these guys were right in the thick of it, and Jerry Falwell admits that he was part of it.
Well, he was part of it because Falwell has a magnificent office at his place in Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And this magnificent office is the mansion of former Senator Carter Glass, who is the one who ushered the Federal Reserve Act through Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Because Woodrow Wilson had no popularity with Congress and couldn't pass the dog bill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Falwell has inherited Carter Glass's magnificent estate for his university.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you should mention that, yeah.
Well, it all ties in.
Well, it does, and there's another piece I'd like to get into that also corroborates a lot of this by Piper. But let's go to the phones, 800-313-9443, and we have Clinton in Wisconsin. Hello, Clinton.
Hello, Rick.
Hi, say hello to Eustace.
Hello, Eustace.
Hello there.
All the men and women merely players. For all the world is a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Eustace to remind him that I volunteered to do some reading for you to convert your works to audio format, and I sent the mail through to Rick. And then I have a question for you tonight, and I just was raised up a notch in my admiration of you when you referred to the heretic Falwell. Because you're such an honest man, and I can only respect that. And I wanted to know, if there's this man named Richard Lynn, Professor Emeritus from the University of Ulster. Now, mm-hmm. he's posted to the Internet a statement, and it's a brief paragraph, and it's about the question.
Mm-hmm.
He said he checked out Churchill's Second World War. Mm-hmm. And a statement is quite correct that not a single mention of Nazi gas chambers, mm. a genocide of the Jews, or of any 6 million Jewish victims of the war ever occurred.
Well, that's terrific.
He said he read Eisenhower's Crusade in Europe, which is a book of 559 pages.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yep.
Six volumes of Churchill's Second World War, which total 4,448 pages, and de Gaulle's three-volume Memoires de Guerre, which is 2,054 pages. This professor states in this massive writing, which altogether totals 7,061 pages, not mm-hmm. including the introductory parts,
mm-hmm.
that were published from 1948 through 1959 by these men. The reader will find no mention either of Nazi gas chambers, mm-hmm. a genocide of the Jews, or of 6 million Jewish victims of the war. Then he asks, it's just astonishing, he states, how can it be explained? Could you help address that, please, sir?
Yes, Eustace, go ahead. Would you like to tackle that?
Yes, well, Churchill prides himself on being such a great historian and having his magnificent prose, and the fact is he apparently knew nothing about what was going on.
Churchill was in the dark.
Well, he was in the dark because nothing was going on. That's the ideal explanation.
Exactly.
So Churchill was really quite a storyteller himself, quite an inventor, and he went along with everything, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
He didn't have any choice.
Zionist, you know, through his mother.
Well, that's a good point, Rick. Wouldn't you think that he would have said something then in his writings?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yes, because this was his people.
So a big question to people who claim that they love history, like Jeff, who I hope he's listening, and he's a prolific reader. Maybe he'll have time to do some reading in this and help us understand the veracity of this position. Richard Lynn, Professor Emeritus. He writes on his website, rlynn.co.uk, Romeo Lima Yankee, November.Charlie.October.UniformKilo. If anybody would like to read more about that.
Can you do that a little more slowly for some of our listeners? Just go through it letter by letter, okay, Clinton?
That's Romeo.
Right.
Lima.
Leo. Okay.
Yankee.
Right.
November.Charlie.Oscar.UniformKilo.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Lynn, Professor Emeritus at the University of Ulster.
Right, right.
And he's would be labeled a historical revisionist or a hollow hoax denier.
Uh-huh.
But if he's a studied man, another studied man,
mm-hmm.
has an obligation to his own discipline,
yes,
to listen to the postulation and
all right. Thank you for that, Clinton. Appreciate it. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Ouch. Ouch is right. Previous caller, Clinton, brought up this Richard Lynn, L-Y-N-N, I believe. And he is emeritus from the University of Ulster. And it just so happens that on the web, he does have several websites about him and his latest treatise on IQ. So it's an interesting thing. We'll get into that at some other point, I think. But we'll talk a little bit more about this current subject, and then we'll welcome Eric Williams to the broadcast because of his new program, and he can chitty-chatty with Eustace also about the issue of driver's license, if you don't mind, Eustace.
Not at all, not at all.
All right, all right. Let's let me just finish up on this one aspect, and we've got a whole bevy of callers, too, so we'll keep you both on the line and take the calls. But I thought I'd mention this, and that is that, as you pointed out, with regard to the American Free Press and Michael Collins Piper, he is pointing out right now what's going on Capitol Hill with all of the preoccupation with the storms, disasters, mining incidents, and so forth. He's talking about this long-standing scheme that has been launched by the Israeli lobby to censor American university professors now, who are critical of unqualified support for Israel. And Representative Patrick Tiberi from Ohio, where you are now, Eustace, joined by 13 of his colleagues, 9 Repubs and 4 Dems, has introduced a measure that will set up what is nothing more than a thought control mechanism on Israel. His bill, which is numbered H.R. 509, is nothing more than a revamped version of an earlier controversial measure which died in a previous Congress as a result of widespread opposition to it generated by news reports first published in the American Free Press. So this H.R. 509, Eustace, which is innocuously entitled, listen to this, to amend and extend the Title VI of the Higher Education Act of 1965, quote unquote.
Oh, who could be against that?
Oh, my goodness. Who would be against that, right? To amendment. Would set up a federal review board in the U.S. Department of Ed designed to curtail academic dissent against U.S. foreign policy, particularly pro-Israel policy in the Middle East. Now, if that isn't censorship, tell me what is.
Well, that is, and really the Israelis weaken their position by bringing up a bill like that. I think they're trying to frighten and intimidate people, but what? I think there'll be a backlash against it. I think it was a mistake on their part.
Well, it already has set many people left and right against it, the Library Association and others, because they're in the thick of this thing. And what next? Are we going to have them come in and grab books and take them away and burn them? You know, I mean, give me a break. It's ridiculous. Here are the co-sponsors.
Well, this is McCarthyism at its worst.
No, well, I wouldn't want to use the word because McCarthyism was Americanism. This is un-American.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
The McCarthy story is so ridiculous because I worked for him,
right.
And he was one of the most friendly people in Washington.
Yep.
He was a very well-loved person, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it by the Hollywoodization of propaganda today, would you?
Well, that's all fantasy.
Yeah, I know.
That's a bit of it.
I know. But here are some of the co-sponsors, in fact, all of them who sponsored this bill. John Boehner of Ohio, Eric Cantor of Virginia.
Oh, that's from my hometown.
There you go. There
Cantor
you go.
Is really a Cantor.
He is. He's a singer, huh?
Yeah.
Luis Fortuno from Puerto Rico, Peter Hoistra from Michigan, Howard McKeon from California, Jim Saxton from Michigan, Joe Wilson from South Carolina, Dan Burton from Indiana, another so-called darling of the conservatives.
Oh, yeah. He's supposed to be very right-wing.
Oh, yeah. Danny K. Davis of Illinois. Steve Israel, he's got the right name, from New York. Ruben Hinojosa from Texas. Charlie Norwood from Georgia. And Anthony Weiner from New York. So that's the list. All right?
That's
there
the usual suspect.
All right. Now let's see if we can bring up aboard our RBN co-pilot here who's starting his program coming this Saturday, I believe. And then we'll take calls as we go on. Eric Williams, are you there?
My pleasure.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm just fine. I have to say that this is really a pleasure for me to be on with Eustace Mullins.
Yes.
I've known of Eustace Mullins for years and years and years. I thought that he was older than dirt, but now he's only 400.
I'm getting younger every day. Well, we got a lot of time together.
And when you mentioned McCarthy, I vowed many years ago that if I ever heard McCarthy's name mentioned in public, I would stand up and applaud.
Yeah, yeah.
So outraged at the way he's been castigated.
Well, anyone who stands, you know, Jesus Christ, remember, he said, if they hated me, they hated you, they hated me first. And basically anyone who speaks the truth and turns the light on will see the cockroaches go dancing, and they certainly don't like the light of truth. So amen to that, Eric. And Eric, first of all, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your forthcoming new program on RBN, and also we'll talk with Eustace about his licensing problems.
Well, very briefly, if it's possible to do that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
My show is titled "Who Are You?" We'll be addressing primarily from that viewpoint political status. I had an unusual start in my life in that I didn't know till I was 30 that I was discarded when I was born. And in 1964, the woman who said she was my mother said she wasn't upon the death of her husband, who was a man who I thought was my father. So that put me on a quest to find out who I was, thus, who are you? And in doing that, I learned a tremendous amount about political status and what is a republic. And I have quite a different take on it than most people in the movement, and I have had great success. One of the reasons why I was familiar with Eustace's work was that I was one of the leaders in the tax movement in Southern California in the late 60s, early 70s. And because of my identity crisis, I was quite, at that time, unknowingly able to beat the IRS in 5 minutes in federal court when they were trying to put me in prison. So that led me into the other subject of the driver's license issue, because I can't get a driver's license because I don't have a birth certificate nor a Social Security number, because I don't know when or where I was born.
Amazing.
On my show, I'll be talking quite a bit about political status and going clear back to the thread that I have discovered beginning on July 4, 1776, is a thread there that you can follow all the way through for those of us who are in this political status to stay out of their clutches. And I have had great success with it. They don't publish it on the front page of the newspapers, but they pretty well leave me alone on the driver's license issue.
Oh, they really do? That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Eustace, are you listening with all of your ears?
Well, I'm listening every word.
We're going to see if we can help you, Eustace.
Well, I'm sure I can be helped. Right. I never thought I'd be on help.
I didn't think so either.
Well, what I've learned on that is that when you go to a new state, like when I came to Arkansas, I went to the DOT to apply for a driver's license. I mean, I don't give them the raspberry or thumb my nose at them. I'm not a scofflaw. If there's a law that applies to me, I'll follow it. So I go to the DOT, apply for a driver's license, and the cute young lady there asks me for my birth certificate and Social Security number. I'm sorry, well, I don't have any of those.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at me, and I'm 65 at that time, and she says, "You don't have a driver's license from the previous state you lived in?" I said, "No, I don't." And she says, "Well, okay, well, you need a birth certificate and Social Security number." I said, "I don't have either one of those." And she says, "Well, then we can't issue you a driver's license." I said, "Thank you very much. Mission accomplished." And I went out the door.
She gave you a driver's license?
No, they wouldn't give me one. I didn't really want one.
Oh, yeah.
But if it applied to me, I would take one. But she clearly indicated it didn't apply to me because it only applies to those who have a birth certificate.
Oh, I see.
And what I have learned is, I mean, this just makes so much sense. Nobody knows when they were born. Nobody can remember that.
That's exactly correct.
Nobody knows who their mother is. Nobody knows if a birth certificate was issued for them when they were born. So how can anybody possibly go down and you know, put themselves in a position of possibly committing perjury by presenting a document they have no idea is theirs as an official document to an office of the government?
Well, that's wonderful. That is really a revelation.
So, you know, you can do that too, Eustace, if you go down to the drive. I mean, it doesn't make any difference at all that all these years you have claimed a birth certificate, because now you know, gee whiz, I didn't realize that it wasn't mine.
Yeah.
Now, it may be yours, but you don't know that, and you can't testify to that. Quite to the contrary, you have to testify that you really don't know, and that whether you did use it in the past or not. They have to prove that you did. And this is a problem that I see people... where people get into trouble all the time in the Patriot Movement, when they go into court and they try to tell the system who they are instead of making the system prove that they volunteered.
That's absolutely right, yeah.
I mean,
it's up to them to prove who you are.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. They go ahead and issue a license then.
No, a big pardon?
They go ahead and issue you a license?
No, I don't need a license.
Oh, you don't need a license, Jeff.
No, he's driving. He's driving without a license. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't drive. I travel.
You travel. You convey yourself, right?
Yeah, I just go from point A to point B. Now, an important point here is the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment prohibits involuntary servitude.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you're very well aware that both the 13th and 14th Amendments were written by the same guys.
Yeah, we talked about that last night, the illegal 14th Amendment.
Forget that it's illegal. It is
illegal. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. It was never properly ratified. Of course not. But,
right.
but that's really not relevant when you really understand how it functions with the 13th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
There is no argument. Take an alien from North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to the United States, wants to become a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a process they have to go through. They have to study the Constitution, take tests, go to federal court, renounce their former sovereign, make an oath swearing allegiance to their new sovereign, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite clear that citizen of the United States has submitted himself to the jurisdiction of the United States. There's no argument. Well, the term citizen of the United States applies just as well, just as equally to those who are born here, but those who are born here have to volunteer in the same way because the 13th Amendment prohibits involuntary servitude.
Yeah, I think I remember you calling into the show a few weeks ago saying that, didn't you? Was that you, Eric, that called me on the air?
Yes.
That was you, right?
Yeah, that was
me. And you made that point. Okay, we were talking about citizenship and these United States, and you had made that distinguishing factor.
That's very, it's important to understand that U.S. citizenship is a voluntary status.
Right, right.
And so if you're a U.S. citizen, if you claim to be a U.S. citizen, and I'm not saying that there's anything at all wrong with that status, but you have to voluntarily claim it, and then you have to get a driver's license. Then you do follow their rules.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't volunteer in, then it doesn't apply. It's like if you join the Boy Scouts, wear the uniform. If you didn't join the Boy Scouts, you don't need to wear the uniform.
Now, you had already tested this in the courts, right?
Yeah.
And you had won.
Yeah, the first time I tested it was in federal court in Los Angeles in tax court. They wanted me to pay $240,000 in taxes.
Yes.
We never got past the opening statement. They couldn't prove they had jurisdiction over me.
That's right. Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
So the same thing applies in the traffic court. The first issue, and I got this from a former U.S. attorney, prosecutor, the first issue in any court, in every proceeding, civil or criminal, is jurisdiction.
That's right.
Most of the time, it's just assumed.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to establish it, and usually it's just assumed and nobody and everybody goes on because everybody knows that the jurisdiction is there. But in traffic court, when they first, you know, if they call your case, and they start saying, well, you're accused of driving without a license or speeding or whatever, say, just a minute, we have a jurisdictional issue here. Where's the jurisdiction?
Mm-hmm.
Then they want to start asking you questions. Well, wait a minute. I beg your pardon, Your Honor. The jurisdictional issue here goes back to day one when the police officer pulled me over and gave me this ticket. He had to have jurisdiction over me then. Show me where he had jurisdiction at that time. Don't ask me questions today to try to prove that you've got jurisdiction now, because as soon as you ask me the first question, it's an acknowledgement that you don't have jurisdiction, because you would need to ask me any questions to establish it if you already had it. So thank you very much and good day.
Eustace,
I
think you're on the second part of the rest of your life now.
Oh, I really am.
You are going to begin a new leaf, and you're going to follow what Mr. Williams, Eric Williams, has just said, and you are going to probably be another case in the state of Ohio.
Well, so, I'll be a case anywhere I go.
You will be. You will be the case across the country. You know, it's funny because, you jokingly, but seriously at the same time, Eric, you mentioned not knowing or remembering where we were born. That reminds me of the old Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy film. And that subject came up, and Oliver Hardy said to Stan Laurel, he says, "Why fancy not knowing where you were born?" And Laurel says, "Well, I couldn't help it. I was too young to remember."
That's exactly right.
That's the whole story.
It's true. It is. All right. Can you stay with us, Eric, for a while?
As long as you want.
All right. And Eustace, do you mind teaming
not
up?
No, I'm right
all
here.
Right. Good, good. I know you don't. All right. Because initially I had invited Eustace, but we'll all make it one big happy family because, as I see, we have a number of callers who would like to address you and me, and we will allow them to do so. And we will give out that number for those of you who are trying. Well, you'll have to to wait now until a line frees up, because I think all of the lines are pretty much filled up. But you can try anyway, okay? Speed dial it in, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443, and that's what people are doing right now. You could probably hear that whistling in the background. Can you hear it? They're dialing up right now. Eric Williams, what time will your program be starting Saturday?
5 to 7 in the evening, afternoon.
And that's Central Time, right?
Central Time, yes.
All right, 5 to 7 Saturday Central Time right here on RBNLive.com. And I imagine you will probably have Eustace Mullins on a few times on your program.
I expect so. If he'll come along,
usually available.
He usually is at his new home, all right, and his new automobile. You'll be living in your automobile pretty soon, right, Eustace?
Oh, yes, that's me.
All right. I see the break coming up on us, so rather than take calls, we'll just give the number again, give you plenty of time to digest what you've just heard, ladies and gentlemen, and then when we come back, we'll start taking calls for Eric and Eustace Mullins right here on RBNLive.com. You know who I am. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, otherwise known as the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. And the number, again, is 800-313-9443. Dial it often and dial it quickly, as they say. Lyndon Johnson used to say, vote early and vote often. So we'll do that right here tonight on this Thursday night edition of Uncensored Radio Free America. Tomorrow night, Scott Smith and Rick Adams at the same time team up. Don't miss it. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with your calls in 3 minutes. Thank you, Paul, our producer, for all of your labors of love. And we are back. Eustace Mullins, Eric Williams, our new Saturday afternoon host on RBN. And we're talking about a myriad of issues, as you can see. Gentlemen, let's take some calls. Tommy in New York. Hi, you're on with the gang.
Oh, hello. I want to ask your guest, Eustace Mullins, if he believes that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with the World Trade Center attack in New York.
Okay. Eustace?
All right. Who is that who had anything to do with it?
A guy by the name of Osama bin Laden or something?
Oh, no, Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with it.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, he had no connection with any of these people. Now, they said that some of them had some connection with him, but that was never established.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was ever arrested or questioned about it.
All right. Tommy?
Yeah. Well, he made some speeches in late 2001 and 2002 about these children being killed in Palestine and Iraq, you know, and nobody in the United States caring about it. Well, he was right. These civil rights people never said a darn thing about these sanctions on Iraq, with the exception of Cynthia McKinney in Georgia. Most of these civil rights organizations placed accolades on Colin Powell, a war criminal.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. All right, Tommy. Any other questions?
Yeah. How come the civil rights organizations never did speak out against these genocide in Iraq?
No.
They never do speak out in favor of Palestinian rights.
Well, some of them have, very few, but most of them, I think, get their cue from the Israel lobby. And whatever Israel wants, they usually dance. You know, when it was the apartheid government in South Africa, they were all out in the streets in full force, and divestiture and disinvestment were the key words. But the same crowd, as you point out, largely didn't want anything to do with putting pressure on Israel because they were tied into the Israeli equation. And does that answer your question from my perspective?
Yeah, that seems to make sense because I heard unaddressed by the leader of the NAACP and the, you know, his national public radio they have.
Yep, yep.
They have a speech before a national press club, you know, and I lost count. Mm-hmm. You know, it was at least a dozen times in a one-hour speech, you know, he mentioned, the speaker mentioned Jews and synagogues.
Hmm. All right, any comment from you, Eustace, or Eric? You want to jump in anytime you may.
Well, I think that if you want to know who, why Osama bin Laden wasn't in charge of what happened on 9/11 is because it only takes one guy to be in charge, and the guy who was in charge, I think, was 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
All right. I can't disagree. Tommy, thank you for your call.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if we can squeeze John in Washington. Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Rick.
Yes.
And Eustace, I got, you've got my favoritist author on again. There.
And don't forget Eric now. Say hello to Eric Williams, too.
Hello, Eric. I'm looking forward to hearing you on your new show this Saturday.
Well, I'll be looking forward to have you call in.
Thank you. I just wanted to say something because I read a few callers back, whiskey, India, kilo, India, et cetera. On the Wikipedia, I think that your callers should know this and check with a particular website that the Wikipedians are evidently the Jewish volunteers. And they can find the information on that. At http://.
All right, I'll tell you what. Hold that because we got a break. Stay where you are, John. We'll pick right up on that note. Hour number two of Uncensored Radio Free America coming right up. I'm Rick Adams.
Censored. Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
Yes, we are. All right, we're back now. Eric Williams, new host here on RBN. Eustace Mullins, everybody knows him now. And John from Washington. John, you were just trying to give out that address. Go ahead. Yes. Start over. Tell us again.
Right. Sure will.
HTTP.
Colon, double forward slash, and then Disfuel, and then dash, Inc. I-N-C dot. I-Z.
You know, you're coming across right now as being very, very, very staticky. So why don't you just say it again quickly, but do it with proper enunciations.
H-T-T-P.
Colon.
Colon.
Double forward slash, yeah.
Slash. And then the word judicial.
Mm-hmm.
And then dash.
Mm-hmm.
I-N-C dot.
Right.
I-Z, like biz.
Mm-hmm.
And then the forward slash and Wikipedia dot H-T-M.
Mm-hmm. And how is Wikipedia spelled again?
W-I-K-I-P-E-D-I-A. Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. And the little grandmothers out there trying to take this down, you know. All right.
This is a real eye-popping site. There is much on here of great interest, I think, to the listeners. And I wanted to ask Eustace. I have your phone number in Stanton. Am I to understand that I'm not going to be able to reach you there at that number anymore?
Oh, you can reach me at this number. He wants this number to reach me here.
Well, it's not Rick now. It's the caller now, John. John wants it. Do you want your number given out where you are? Mm-hmm. Yes?
All right, so.
Eustace.
Yes.
I don't know if you want. Do you want to give out your number where you are now?
That's perfect, all right.
Okay, all right.
It's 419.
Mm-hmm.
This is my number, and I'll get any message to you.
944.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, 6489?
6489.
Yeah, that's it. 944-6489.
6489?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And
so
that's
much.
419
so
area code.
And I have perhaps a helpful suggestion for you. I'll call you at that number, and I have a helpful suggestion regarding your driving circumstances.
Oh, excellent. I'd be very glad to hear it.
All right. So
thank you.
Thank
all
you,
right, John. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. We are up against the clock again. In 20 seconds or so, we're going to get ready to break. So rather than go to David next, we'll put him on hold. David, James, Doug, and you can be next. I think there might be one line, maybe or maybe not, one line available. If not, you keep dialing right now. 800-313-9443. Eustace Mullins, our guest. And also with us is Eric Williams, who, of course, is starting a brand new program on rbnlive.com. John Statmiller bringing him aboard to the network, and on the weekend, Saturday 5 to 7, which is Central Time now. And you can obviously be calling him, Eric Williams, on the Saturday program, and we will be building up the Sundays, I hope, very soon as well. So the network is certainly growing. We need your support. Be a pledger, be a Republic partner, and you can do that by getting on the website. And that's very simple, rbnlive.com, or give us a call during the weekdays, 800-724-2719. All right, time to take a break. Eustace Mullins, Eric Williams, Rick Adams, and you. We shall return in about 3 minutes.
Pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on, right on base, on point, on rbnlive.com.
And we are back with Eustace Mullins and Eric Williams, and our number is 800-313-9443. We got a line or two available just now, so jump aboard. Got a question or a comment? Go right ahead. David in Austin, Texas. Hi, you're on next on the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Nice
very
to
well.
See you all collected. I found it to be a good opportunity. Something's been on my mind for a while, and I wanted to ask what you guys thought about the credibility of Mr. Stu Webb and Tom Hennigan and their information.
I really can't tell you what I think because I've heard conflicting stories about
Stu
Webb. So I don't like to jump in where I don't have all the facts.
I agree.
Both of everybody, huh?
Eustace, do you know anything about Stu Webb?
I don't know the name at all.
Okay. Well, that settles that question. Next question. You have another question. Go ahead.
Honestly, no. That's all that comes to mind currently right now. I'm
mm-hmm.
Austin, Texas, you know, with a
mm-hmm.
real big knowledge base, this whole movement. So
mm-hmm.
thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate your call, David. But just I know that this movement, this Patriot movement, as it's called, has become a very interesting movement, if I may use the term, because, you know, Eric, maybe you can tell us. You've been around a long time. Eustace, you've been around longer than all of us, so probably know within the so-called Patriot community, there are people that do, for whatever reason, seem to like to divide and conquer. And I don't want any part of it. I don't attack anybody, and I don't want to be attacked. I don't care what they call me as long as they don't call me late for lunch. You know, that's the way I feel about it. But I would rather move forward with issues and deal strictly with issues and philosophies than deal with personalities, if I can at all help it. That's my philosophy. Eric and Eustace, you want to share yours?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Personalities have nothing at all to do with any of this. We have way too much division already. We have too many people going in different directions. The abortion issue is a very important emotional issue, but it has nothing at all to do, really, with the slide into one-world government. The one-worlders couldn't care less about the abortion issue. It just takes our energy away from addressing them. We need to look from what we wish would work to what really will work. Concentrate on that.
And Eustace, how do you feel about this movement of division within the Patriot community? What's going on?
I've been a Unifier for 60 years, and I've worked with almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I never leave anybody at all. They leave me.
Now you've had some unique experiences.
I have indeed. I worked with just about everybody.
Uh-huh. So your advice is to people who are just getting into this and just starting to understand is what? What would you tell them?
Well, work with them until they become impossible, and then you have to move on.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. All right, let's move along then. Let's take another call. I think it's, is it James in Virginia?
Hey.
Is that you? James,
yeah.
How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good evening to you, Rick, and Eustace Mullins, and Eric Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm here in the mountains of Virginia, not far from where you were. And I hate to see Eustace having moved. Perhaps he will change his mind and move back over my way. I'll clean out a room for him.
Oh. Well, the Wilsonian Democrats are back in Richmond. You know, Mr. Kane, right out of the Bible, is the new governor. I'm not going to be too welcome there.
Well, I live in the largest county, Ben Square Miles, and 441 square miles in this county.
Oh.
And very beautiful. It's down, goes all the way into Cumberland Gap. Anyhow, Mr. Mullins, I wrote you a letter within the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yes, Pennington Gap.
Yes.
I got your letter just before I left town.
Oh, right. Good, great.
Yeah, I have it right on my desk.
And if you'll send that out, it'll tickle me to death.
I certainly will. I'll take care of that.
Rick Adams
mm-hmm.
has the very best show on RBN, and I like Jack McLam.
I do Jack's show quite a bit.
And so I think you three guys here, Rick Williams and Eustace and Rick working together with his sidekick on Friday nights, I think this is going to be this is going to be wonderful.
Well, things are turning around anyway.
Yeah,
well, it's a very exciting time.
It's wonderful, except that I have to continue to tell people that if they can at all help the network financially by contributing in our drive here, they should, because it is very expensive. And I know when John tells me, you know, the expenses of paying for shortwave as well as paying for satellites and so forth, it ain't just made up. It's real. Those bills come in every month.
Exactly.
And I know, we all know, because we all have to pay bills. That's the way it is. But anyway, pray for the network. Pray for the growth of the network, and that we might be a beacon in this world of darkness.
Absolutely, and the providence of God, I believe in it strongly.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that our God moves in all of these things.
Yes.
So I'm not a doomsdayer.
Amen.
I believe he speaks and things happen. So this is so encouraging to me at my age. I'm almost your age, I would think.
Well, I never think about
who
are
you speaking to?
I seem to be getting younger all the time.
So I'm even older than dirt in some places.
Oh, come on. You don't sound it.
So anyway,
but anyway, we merit your, hope we merit your support.
Well, I can truly say God bless you for the work you're doing. Keep it up. I'll help you any way that I can.
Amen. Thank
and,
you, James.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you very much.
Right.
You very
just keep supporting us and keep supporting freedom of speech, and that means so much to us. I know all of us here feel the same way, because we've never been as threatened as we are now in America today. And you can see with George Bush and the fact that he has managed to get away with what he has gotten away with so far.
Oh, it is incredible.
It's incredible indeed. Absolutely frightening to think about it. But anyway, let's move along. 800-313-9443. And this young man, Doug from Bastrop. Hello, Doug.
Well, hello, Rick. Eustace, Eric.
Hello there.
Hi.
Eustace is fortunate to be living in Ohio. That's where I was created, hatched, or whatever. In other words, that's where I'm from, but at the ripe old age of five, I told my parents I didn't want to be a Yankee. Please take me to Texas. And, of course, they succumbed to my
desire. Well, I'm an old Shawnee, and right here in Ohio is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, you know, used to shoot, by far my favorite researcher and everything in your books. I've read everything he probably ever published. And I don't think you give G. Edward Griffin enough in the bibliography. You don't include his books enough.
Oh, no, G. Edward Griffin is on his own.
You know, because of murder by injection and World Without Cancer. And they can look at the, you know, I could see that you obviously took your books directly from his and paraphrased him.
I think you're being facetious here now, Doug.
I never do that.
No, you never speak tongue-in-cheek, do you?
Well, Griffin is never facetious. He's always serious when he's stealing somebody's work.
Right.
But you know what they say, this imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
It really is. You know, there are 18 plagiarized versions of my Federal Reserve book alone, 18 plagiarized versions circulating at the same time.
Wow.
And all these people are trying to help me becoming better known and trying to help me.
Well, they are. You know, I wish I could get somebody to go around and repeat every word that I said because that would give me a lot of power. I tried to sue a lot, but you should be flattered by that, if not financially enriched. And I'm sure you don't need the money. I'm sure you're a very wealthy man. But you're aren't you a...
Well, this is a very rich type of operation to be in.
Well, you know, Eustace, you're still waiting to collect that, what was it, $90 million lawsuit?
Oh, $85
million. Close enough.
Well, I think I'm going after him. I'm beginning to get a little short, and I'm starting to need it.
Now's the time, brother. All right. Thank you very much, Doug. It's appreciative of your support. Keep up the good work, brother. All right. We've got Jeff and Rodney and others waiting to get on the line. And we've got, again, Eric Williams with us, who's starting a brand-new program on the weekends on Saturday, 5 to 7 Central Time. And he will be here starting this Saturday. And Eustace Mullins, the man who just refuses to give up. Right, Eustace?
All right.
You just don't quit, do you?
No, never have.
And they're trying to help you along. You know, you're, what are you, 83 now, Eustace?
Oh, yes, 83.
83, and you sound like 40 or 50. And a lot of people that don't like that. They just don't like you being well. Just think, you have just about outlived many of your enemies over the years, and I would say probably most of them in your contemporary time.
Oh, I have outlived them, but I think I didn't do enough to get rid of them.
They needed a little help from you.
They always need help.
Yeah, right, and you're there to supply. All right, 800-313-9443 is our number. We've got a line available right now, but let's take a break because we don't want to start a call without taking a break first. When we come back, Jeff, you'll be first, Rodney in Texas, and all of you on Uncensored Radio Free America, only on RBNLive.com. Rick Adams, we'll be back. Okay. All right. We are back again, and we have with us Eustace and Eric Williams. And, gentlemen, did you want to, each of you want to contribute anything? Hello there, Eustace. Are you carrying on a private conversation?
Oh, I was just having some suggestions here.
I thought you were talking to maybe Jeb Bush in Florida.
Oh, yeah, I don't talk to Jeb very much.
You don't speak to the Bushes? No.
Well, I speak to George.
I see. You speak directly to George and Dick?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, we are both pedophiles.
And, oh, come on now. Don't say... Don't clone yourself. All right, I can see you speaking.
Well, you have something in common, you know?
I can see you speaking to Barbara Bush, but not George. All right. All right. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Eric Williams with us now. He's starting a new program here. And let's see, who's next? Jeff in New Mexico. Hello, Jeff.
Oh.
Hey, you're on the program.
Yeah, I have a problem with people like myself being called Nazi-like snitches because we are in favor of people having to have identification.
Uh-huh.
I feel you need identification to be able to identify the people who are trying to exploit white guilt and turn white people into a minority everywhere. And I got a little scenario to prove that.
All right, give it to us. Give it to us.
You know, say you're a white father of three non-Hispanic white daughters still living in your home, and they each have a non-Hispanic white boyfriend with a paid position with the county sheriff or animal control. And you start to have trouble with the new neighbor Mexicans, say, that are disrupting the neighborhood with loud music and loose pit bull dogs running around. So you call the sheriff and animal control out, which is your daughter's boyfriends. They're in the department to prosecute these troublemaker Mexicans, you know, and they get paid. That's their job. And you know, this might be defined as by the hola hoax people. You know, as Clinton, Wisconsin might call them hola hoax people.
Uh-huh.
This might be defined as being a Nazi snitch, but, you know, that's just trying to play on white guilt when you're always calling, going back and saying it's like the Nazis were in Germany, you know. You got to protect your own people. And
what point are you trying to make now? I'm not so sure I understand, Jeff. What are you saying we need to do in America today? What's your scenario?
Well, I just don't see any problem with having an ID. If all the people in Norway have an identification. I don't know if they do.
What do you mean, an ID card? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the New World Order wants that, and I don't particularly like it, but let me defer to Eric and Eustace, each of you gentlemen. Go ahead.
Well, if I might speak up there.
You go ahead. Go ahead, Eric.
We have a basic... A primary, basic, fundamental. Does that cover all bases? Question here that has to be answered. Where does the government get any authority to require anybody to have an ID card? All government authority is derived reportedly from the people. I don't have an individual authority to make the caller have, to Jeff, to have a ID card, and he doesn't have any individual authority to make me have an ID card, and neither does anybody else have such individual authority. So none of us have any such authority that we can delegate to the government. And if all the government's authority comes from the people, there's no way the government can get any such authority. So before you go saying what the government ought to do and all that kind of stuff, first you need to establish, does the government have any authority to do any of that? And if so, where did it get the authority? Doesn't have it.
Well, sometimes the government can do stuff to help your own kind of people too, though. You know, like I was giving the example of Norway.
Right. The same answer.
They're all
applies.
The same kind of people, so they don't
me.
Care.
Excuse me, Jeff, but the same answer applies to all of that stuff. You have to go back to the fundamental question: where does the government get any authority to do what you're just alleging the government sometimes does for our own good? I beg your pardon, but the government has no authority whatsoever to tell me what to do in any area of my life whatsoever. The only one who has any authority over me is my neighbor to tell me to stay off of his property, and he has a right to enforce my trespass on his property. Beyond that, the government doesn't have any authority to decide what is good for me.
Well, I just think that kind of anarchy might not be the best for...
Well, what do you think about this, Eustace? Let me get your viewpoint now.
Well, Ezra Pound used to tell me about the years before World War One, when you could wander around Europe without a passport, and that is freedom. But he regretted. Those were the good old days for him.
Mm-hmm. And what's your perspective on all of this? This ID business.
Well, I think the Mexicans realize I don't need a passport to come to the United States.
All right. So basically, what you're saying is we should stick with what we had was the Constitution, but we're abandoning it.
Oh yeah.
And we're really hurting.
It's sabotage. It's not been abandoned.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call, Jeff. I appreciate it. And I think what we're doing is we're actually entrapping the very people that you want to defend and the Americans who are indigenous to this country by creating a system, a grid system, if you will, that will be used to identify them and then destroy us rather than destroying the invaders who are coming in over the border.
Well,
needless
exactly
to say,
right.
we need to have a border, but we don't need to have a national ID system or a chip or anything of the kind. We'll be back. Eric Williams, Eustace Mullins, I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Well, we are back now. Rodney in Texas is going to be our next caller, and our number is 800-313-9443. Hello, Rodney in Texas. You are live.
Why, good evening. Good evening to all.
Thank you. Good evening to you, Rodney.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this mini-symposium.
That's what it is, a symposium. That's the word, Rodney.
Yeah, I want to say hello to Eric Williams and Mr. Eustace Mullins.
Hi, back.
Mr. Mullins, I believe you have an 84th birthday coming up in March, right?
Oh, I do indeed.
So, happy early birthday to
you.
Well,
thank you very much. And I will say that it's quite nice to feel that good at this age. I never expected to be this age in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you truly are blessed, and I want to thank you because I had the opportunity to read some excerpts from your book, Murder by Injection, and it was very educational because much of that information I wasn't aware of, but I want to thank you for that. I wanted to add something on to the previous caller, and this is right in harmony with what Mr. Williams was saying about the government not having authority over us as individuals. And I just wanted to reference a couple of scriptures out of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 9, just to paraphrase it, and I encourage individuals to check and read it for yourself. It says, man continues to dominate man to his own injury. And this is exactly what we're seeing. I mean, you look at the situation in Washington with all of the bribes and the scandals, with the lobbyists. This Congress basically has made itself irrelevant. They can't be trusted. And yet you see individuals like McCain talking about let's pass more legislation to deal with this matter. They're basically asking us, even after all these individuals have been caught with their hands in the cookie jar, figuratively speaking, let us continue to police ourselves. But there's no evidence that any of these people can be trusted. The second scripture is in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, where it says, it doesn't belong to man to direct his own step. Now, my question is, and it's a rhetorical question, if God says it doesn't belong to man to direct his step, why would we want to put our faith and trust in the hands of criminals? You know, and I'm referring to the individuals right there in Washington, D.C. So,
well,
once again, this ties right in with mm-hmm. what you were saying, Mr. Williams. I agree with you 100%. And it just behooves me, that the previous mm-hmm. caller, and I'm not mad at the individual, with all of these scandals and these laws, these New World Order laws being passed on eminent domain, that you would have individuals call in and say, well, we want the government to have more authority over us?
Well, then that's part of the New World Order, Rodney, isn't it? They want to create another crisis so that they can offer the solution. And it's always more government, always more control, always less freedom for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't worked. Historically, it's never worked.
It never has. It never will.
Right.
And this has all been prophesied in the scriptures by God.
Mm.
Okay? So, therefore, you know, I think Mr. Williams is right on the money, and Mr. Mullins has written so many books that have exposed these criminals. I mean, going back way before even I was born,
mm-hmm.
you know, think they and most of this criminal element is within a small cabal of very, very wealthy, evil individuals worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And the names are the same, you know, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, mm-hmm. the wealthy family over there in England, and many others. But nevertheless, you know, I just thought I'd call in and add that to the like I said, the little mini symposium that
sure.
You. And by the way, Mr. Williams, since you're having your show, new show added to RBN on Saturdays, can you tell me what you think your theme may be? Because in Rick Adams, he's the Radio Avenger. John Staff Miller is the Intel Report, and mm-hmm. there are others. But what do you think your theme might be?
Well, the name of my I'm having a terrible echo here. The name of my show is the Who Are You Call, which goes to political status. And the problem with you, Rodney, is that you have been exercising your brain and thinking too much, and otherwise you wouldn't agree with me. So that's the basic thrust of my show will be stop buying into what other people have told you and do your own homework
mm-hmm.
that most people... When they're little children, they're told by their parents and their school teachers what our government documents mean. And so then when later they read the government documents like the 13th and 14th Amendments, they have been brainwashed to already have a conclusion as to what they're reading. And so they don't really read the words. They just look at them. You don't seem to be among that class.
I hope not.
But to correct one point, an error that I made with the previous caller, when I, in one way, I said the government doesn't have any authority over me, Eric Williams, but the government does have full 100% control and authority over those who volunteer into servitude,
mm-hmm.
which the 13th Amendment does not prohibit for anybody from volunteering into servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody voluntarily chooses to be a citizen of the United States, which is the only way that anybody can become a citizen, they volunteered into full servitude. And what we see going on in this country is a slow and gradual imposition of that full authority that they always had.
Clear enough, Rodney.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for that compliment.
Yep.
You know, it's a battle. It really is a battle because...
Well, it's a spiritual battle,
yeah,
Rodney.
It's a spiritual battle, but we, to be fair to all, there's so much propaganda, high-tech propaganda hitting us from all sides that for a lot of people it's very, very hard to see through that facade. And so therefore I do feel for individuals who, you know, who are caught up in that matrix, so to speak. But at the same time, like I said, it's a battle. An individual has to want to go out there, as the scriptures say, and seek, you know, the real truth.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
We do. Rodney. We're going to have to cut you off here at this point, Rodney. We're getting a lot of feedback, but we get the point. We get the drift. Thanks for your support, and let us move along. All right, now, you're listening to Uncensored, Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams. Eustace Mullins is with us, and Eric Williams, who's beginning his new talk show Saturday right here on RBNLive.com. Mike in Arizona, you are now on the program, Mike.
Yes, Rick, Eustace, and Eric, Happy New Year.
Thank you, sir.
Great. Hey, you'd said something earlier about this Vanity Fair with Falwell and Netanyahu. What was the date on that, please?
That was this month. Well, the last month, actually, December of 2005.
Okay, great.
The newsstand. The newsstand month, right.
Okay. I heard an interview this morning with Mordecai Vanunu, the one that broke about Israel's nuclear
facilities. Deal. Yes.
Yes. And he said, and this was this morning, and he said that Ariel Sharon is already dead.
Now, that's just what a lot of people have been claiming, yeah.
Yeah, that they're basically just keeping him alive on a ventilator and things and for political purposes. So I just kind of wanted to pass that information on. And, you know quite a bit about Ariel Sharon being a war criminal, about the slaughter of the Palestinian or the refugees in Shatila and Sabra.
Right.
You know, if the U.S. is bound by the Geneva Convention to investigate, prosecute these people, and to turn them over, why is have they never done anything like that to Ariel Sharon?
Well, you know why. You know the reason, so we don't have to get into that.
That's for sure.
You know, the dog is wagging the tail here.
Something like that. But, you know, we sure seem to be able to go into Bosnia and get Slobodan Milosevic. So, there doesn't seem to be any deal about that. A couple other things, too. I'm looking into this a statement by the Iranian president about wiping Israel off of the map. And it appears that he's just basically repeating a comment by the Ayatollah that had said that previously. So a lot of this is being taken out of context. Like years ago, I believe it was Nasser, it had said something about pushing Israel into the sea. And that's all we ever heard, that Egypt was going to push Israel into the sea. But the whole statement, you know, went something along the lines of, well, if Israel continues to do what they're doing, we'll have no other option but to push them into the sea. So I'm really wondering if what we're all being told, that this is just all for propaganda.
Well, it is. It's all leading up to some sort of an attack on Iran, because Iran is going to denominate the sale of oil in its own currency, and that means dealing with the euro dollars, not the United States dollar. And that's exactly what Saddam Hussein was doing, was planning to do. So he had to be invaded and taken over. But you got to have a pretext for war, as James Banford said in his book, and the propaganda mills will just follow through, as they have been every day now, telling us how crazy and how terrible Iran is. And you know that they're a target. So, once again, it's the same propaganda. It's the same story. There's nothing new under the sun. Meanwhile, Israel gets a free ride, and the United States is holding the bag. George Bush is in a company of thieves and criminals, such as Sharon and that gang there. And there's a lot of infighting going on behind the scenes that we don't see. There's no honor amongst thieves, and Satan's kingdom, really, is divided temporarily, but not ultimately against the ultimate goal, which is a world government. That's my take on it, and that's all I have to say. If you gentlemen have to comment on it, go right ahead. We'll take your comments as well. Eric?
Well, I don't really get an awful lot into that. I certainly agree with your comment that the reason why we went to war with Iraq, because Saddam Hussein said that he was no longer going to accept Federal Reserve notes.
That's right.
And one further observation that I could make there is that before the euro came up, all those oil countries were stuck with the worthless unbacked Federal Reserve note.
Mm-hmm.
But now that the euro is there, and the European nation isn't spreading their euros all over the planet, giving them away and making them more worthless and getting them more and more debased. We even have countries in South America that are dumping the United States Federal Reserve note as their base of currency. So there's very, very good evidence there that you're absolutely correct, that the reason why we went into Iraq was because of Saddam Hussein's decision to refuse the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, you got to have a pretext, though, and the pretext has been used again and again, and it's being used now with Iran. Okay, thanks for your call, Mike. We have to move along, and let's go to John in California now. You are on the program, John.
Thanks, Rick. Hello.
Yes, we're listening. We're all listening to you. Go right ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah, great. I had a couple brief questions, one for Mr. Williams, one for Mr. Mullins.
And, go right ahead.
And then one for both. Mr. Williams, I sure do appreciate your perspective on things.
Thank you very much.
Ouch. What was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
And I was wondering, I used to learn a little bit of law from a guy named Eric Williams out here in Southern California that used to live in Lake Elsinore area. Was that you?
You got me.
Pardon?
You nailed me.
Oh, Mr. Williams. Oh, I knew you one time back around 1990.
Yeah, that's about the time I left there.
Yeah. You were a Navy chief.
That's correct.
Yes, you're the man. Yeah, and you were tough as nails then. I remember we took a ride with you down to a Patriot meeting many years ago, and we got pulled over on the freeway, and they wanted to see your driver's license, and you didn't have one. And we sat in the car. I don't know if you ever remember that.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been 14 years. Anyhow, I just wondered if that was you, and I'm glad it is. You're a good man.
Thank you.
I met you personally. Mr. Mullins?
Yes.
I sure do appreciate your books, especially your tour de force, Secrets of the Federal Reserve.
Well, that's going like hotcakes. It's amazing. There are 18 plagiarized versions of it at the present time.
And it's going well in Japan from what I've heard you say before.
Yes, it is. The Japanese are very receptive to this.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I really respect the Japanese people.
They're very hardworking, serious people.
Yes. Now, I had a question for both, and I'll get off.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you guys thought about, in light of all the racial strife that's going on that happened over in France, and then Australia, and of course here in Toledo in America, and what's going on there. When we talk about Western civilization, we talk about America and Europe, and with the inundation of immigrants coming in from all over the world, in Europe and in America, what you thought about all this strife that's been going on, and I'll hang up. And
okay. Hey, thanks for your call, John. Go ahead, gentlemen. Answer that question for your own satisfaction. I got my views, but go ahead.
Go ahead, Eustace.
Oh, well, there's no question about it that the white world is shrinking every day, and the so-called white world. And we really have a tough situation coming up in the next couple of decades.
Well, I agree with you, of course, 100% there, and all this strife we're having in all these countries, to me, seems to be just another tool that they're using to get the population of the planet, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to clamor for some superior government from somewhere to come in and fix everything, because it's always some higher-up government like the United Nations that's going to come to the rescue of all those people. So it seems that the purpose of these this strife in these various different countries is just to erode the respect that the citizenry of those countries have for their own local government. For the immigration into the United States is so devastating to our political heritage. These people coming in from all these other countries don't have a clue of the English political heritage that really enabled our country to be as great as it is, and to allow people to come in here from countries who don't have that background and let them vote. They think that they seem to think that there's no end to government money, and they keep voting for more and more and more without having any idea that what they're doing is making this country be about the same as the one they came from.
All right. Hey, well put. Thank you very much for your calls, and we got to take a break right now. We still got Russell in Tennessee. We'll try to squeeze him in, and Roger quickly in Pennsylvania when we return. Uncensored Radio Free America with Rick Adams, your radio avenger, Eric Williams, and Eustace Mullins. We'll return.
New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, we are back and not much time. And once again, before we run out of time, Eric Williams begins his program on every Saturday here on RBN, starting this Saturday at 5 Central Time. Eustace Mullins, he'll be all over the map because he'll be on with Eric and me and others, and he's just a mainstay. So let's take a quick couple of calls. How's that, gentlemen?
All right.
Russell in Tennessee, you're next.
Outstanding. Well, first of all, gentlemen, I just want to take a moment to commend and congratulate you for, you know, your commitment to what you do for this country and, you know, just for your contributions that you've made for just waking up countless of Americans every day. I first started listening to the program about 7 weeks ago, and I'll have to say that I've been hooked ever since.
So amen.
The purpose of my call basically is to first to unravel, or not really unravel, but reveal the reality of a very scary truth that I have encountered, and then to ask a question of what can be done. I'm ex-military. I first joined the military back in July of 2001, mm-hmm. and was in basic training when September 11th happened, and that's mm-hmm. when that's when the madness began. The drill sergeants really stepped things up, mm-hmm. and I'll have to say that through my through my service and my tour of duty, I realized that the reasons that I joined up with the military didn't really coincide with what the military actually was. I originally joined in the active duty because I felt a patriotic sense of duty to defend my country. And when we first went to war, it just didn't seem right. Something didn't sit well with me. And I was fortunate enough to not have to go to Afghanistan or to go to Iraq for reasons of parenthood. But now that I've been out, since December of 2003, and since I've been out and moved back to Tennessee, most of the people that I speak with, people my age around 26, 27, and 28, just have no idea about what's going on in America today. And mm-hmm. I've been doing my own research, trying to figure out how to find a local militia or just someone to drill with, someone to train with, just so that I can educate more people on our Bill of Rights and what our constitutional freedoms and what the Constitution just really grants to us, our freedom to keep and bear arms.
All right. And, well, what's the question? Because we don't have much time now, Russell.
I'm asking, what can I do to... I'm asking, what can I do to find a, to research or to find out how to find a local militia, someone... a group of like-minded individuals.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let Eric, maybe you can answer him that question. Eric, go ahead.
Well, very quickly, I don't know anything about any local militia, but I will be addressing the subject that you were asking about basically on my program. So if you listen on Saturday and get that, one thing I will want to quickly say that it's not for us to determine or to win the battle or determine what the battle is. That's the Lord's job. Our job is to contend in his name. And you have to get your strength from there. It's the only place you can get it. You can't get it from any militia or from anybody else. It has to come from your own personal relationship with your Creator. Otherwise, forget it.
I concur wholeheartedly. Eustace, any final thoughts?
Oh, yes, indeed. People have to remember that only 4% of the colonists supported the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
There was a small group of Scotch-Irish Presbyterians in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, and there was a group of Puritans and Pilgrims in New England, and they were the only people who really were for a revolution against England. The rest of the people were Tories who were strong supporters of King George III.
All right.
It's disappointing to not find everybody jumping in, but they will be there when you need them.
Amen. Gentlemen, goodbye. God bless you. We'll be listening, Eric, and Eustace, we'll talk again.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey, time's gone. I'm sorry, Roger. No time tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll be back at 8 o'clock Central. Scott Smith and Rick Adams. Good night.